Hello, my name is Dr. Latasha Schrader. I am a student advocate, school administrator, editor, and owner of Tempo Editing. I am pleased to welcome our guest, Dr. Sheila Ransberg, to the podcast. Dr. Sheila Ransberg is a triple graduate from the Pride and Baylor in Belton, Texas. She has an undergraduate degree in social work. Her master's and doctoral degrees focus on the field of education administration. Dr. Ransberg has been in the education field for 22 years. Outside of teaching elementary school children for 18 years, Sheila has also held administrative positions and district-level positions. Currently, she serves as a coordinator of assessment and data management. Sheila's current role includes collaboration with the dyslexia department at the district level. Her interest lies in the area of dyslexia. She has taught students with dyslexia as well as tested students for dyslexia and has played an integral part in determining if students qualify for dyslexia services. At one point in her career, she was a campus advocate for students with disabilities, including dyslexia. This position included facilitating ARDs and 504s for students with dyslexia. Through several years of research, Dr. Ransberg has determined that students with dyslexia have inspired, influenced, and impressed the world. Her dissertation is titled, It's My Superpower, The Perspectives of Higher Education Students with Dyslexia on Academic Self-Efficacy. Let's get started. When did you complete your dissertation?
I completed my dissertation April 19th at 3:42 Central Standard Time.
You have the time and everything.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
What methodology did you use?
So I did a phenomenological study and then I focused on qualitative as well.
Okay. Writing resources do you recommend for those currently writing their dissertation?
I'm sorry, which writing?
Writing resources would you use for those currently writing their dissertation?
So I would use the writing resources that are referred by the committee. I know my committee sent me some examples of some dissertations that were approved by our university in the past, and that really helped lay the groundwork. Even though the dissertations that I viewed were different as far as material, but it let me know the standard of writing that I needed to have to complete and successfully defend a dissertation. And so I use that as a backbone. Also, collaborating with colleagues, I feel, is a good idea as well. I know that I was involved in a cohort method at my university. And so even though we were writing on different topics, it's good to brainstorm with others that are going through the process at the same time. So I would say those are good resources, people and writings of people that have already made it, kind of standing on the shoulders of giants, so to speak.
Absolutely. I love that. Yes. Do you have any time management strategies to share?
I think as far as time management, I would say to carve out some time to either read or write every day. I know not this past summer, but the summer before when I was writing, I decided that I was going to have to write at least a page or two every day. And in the dissertation world, that means reading several articles to make that happen. So being in the education field, I was off for some time during the summer. So I really devoted, never skipped a day. And really made sure that I stayed to my personal timelines of trying to get the writing out of the way, especially chapter two. You know, chapter two is the research, at least it was for me. We had five chapters in our dissertation. And so that research part, the review of lit is brutal, or it can be. And
it
so
is, yeah.
Reading all of the articles that you possibly can until the data is saturated, until you start seeing the same things over and over again and you start finding those patterns was highly important. And, you know, probably just from my years of education, you can tell I'm old school. So I printed out every article, highlighted it, used sticky notes and things like that, just because I needed to touch and feel and be able to read and really get into the work in that way. But a lot of people can do it digitally as well. Yeah. But for me, it worked better just having the paper in my hands.
So I kind of did a hybrid. I saved each article digitally, but I also, and what I did was I highlighted obviously the things I wanted to reference in my paper, but I also had different color highlighters for different sections of the literature review. So like if it was highlighted in blue, I knew it went within this section. If it was highlighted in yellow, so things like that. But yeah, I did a hybrid.
Right. Right. And that's good, because that way, when you go back to look for information, you know, when you're looking through hundreds of articles,
right,
it can be overwhelming to look for that one piece that connected to something that you just read. And so highlighting it like that is a great idea. I agree with that. I did some highlighting myself. So, yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Note the margin, like use this, what I'm talking about. Like my paper was about equity and cultural responsive teaching. So I might say something like use this for like students with, or, you know, students ESL, or use this for students, you know, with IEPs or something like that.
So right.
I don't know what, you know. What did you do to overcome writer's block?
Well, to overcome writer's block, what I did was I would kind of reread things that I'd already written to kind of jog my memory again. I also would look at articles, reread some of the literature that would kind of jog my memory to start again. And sometimes, to be honest with you, you know, just kind of taking a mental break and stepping away from the work for a while, or maybe just having a conversation with someone about the work, but not really physically writing it. But stepping away for it for a while, just, you know, getting a little refresher in there can kind of help. But looking at things that you've already written in the work, or looking at articles, those were the things that I did. It's hard to step away from it, though, when you're trying to work a little bit against the timeline. So when I say step away from it, I don't mean for weeks, you know, maybe just for an hour or so, and then getting back into it.
Yeah.
The goal of a doctoral student, you know, thinking about that time stepping away, I think you definitely should not step away any longer than it would be for your time to get through IRB. So I, you know, depending on your university, if IRB takes anywhere from 30 to 60 days, that's going to be time where you're really not writing because you're waiting on approval. So when you calculate that into the time and trying to graduate, you know, if you're trying to graduate at a certain time frame, that's why I'm saying it's hard to step away from it just for too long, you know, because you got to think of the IRB where you kind of just sit and wait. And that's time that you can't do anything about until the committee says, sure, we accept you.
Right. I'm a bibliophile. I have to ask, what are you reading right now, if anything?
Well, I can tell you that I just finished reading the Superintendency Certification by Elaine Whitmore. I just passed my Superintendency Certification exam. So now that I have put that to bed, I have recently started a book. It's called The Other Wes Moore, and it's by, the author's name is actually Wes Moore.
Yes, I read that. Yes, excellent book.
My supervisor recommended that book to me, and I just, so I had been waiting to read it. And so now that I can actually read what I want, I started that just a couple of days ago, and it seems to be very intriguing at this time. So I'm looking forward to the rest of it.
Yeah, it really is. My husband bought me that book several years ago for my birthday, and I enjoyed it. So.
Oh, good. I wondered if there was a, you know, once I finished reading it, I just thought when I started, I thought this would probably make a really good movie. And so I hadn't had a chance to research and see if it was a movie yet, but it seems like it's a really good book.
Yeah, I don't think there's a movie, but that would be a good movie. Okay, so, Doctor, before I let you go, is there anything else you would like to share about your experience with academic writing?
Well, I think if I were to sum it up in one word as far as the dissertation piece, I would say... I would use the word detachment, and I know that's kind of an odd thing to say, but I think at one point in the dissertation process, I felt very connected to my work and very kind of taken a lot of ownership, like it was my child, so to speak. And there becomes a point when your committee is giving you so much feedback to change things and back and forth and back and forth that you have to kind of let a little bit of the control go. And so I would say detachment is the one word that I could use to describe the entire dissertation process. And you have to be able to detach and accept and make the changes that you need to make, because you want to be finished, not necessarily famous. So.
Yes, I love that. You want to be finished, not necessarily famous.
Exactly.
But you make a good point, because, you know, dissertation writing is a very personal process, and it's very hard not to take that feedback personally and, you know, while you're in it. So, yes, that's a very, very good word. You do have to learn how to navigate that process so it's not, like, heartbreaking when they give you feedback.
Right.
I love that. Well, Dr. Ransberg, thank you for taking the time to speak with me today and being so open to sharing your dissertation journey.
Oh, you're welcome. Anytime. If you ever need anything, please reach out.
I will. Listeners, I'd like to thank you for taking the time to listen. We all know time is priceless. Information about my editing services can be found at tempoediting.com. That's TEMPOediting.com. Last, if you've enjoyed this podcast, please follow and share with a fellow scholar.